It is time for Skulls Hall here in beautiful Vancouver. It is Friday at 1 p.m. And we have a fairly special show for you today. Yes, we have a very good show right here. And somebody has moved the microphone away from the front of the host. Oh, dear. Anyway, Friday o'clock. Friday, 1 o'clock, CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver, Skulls Hall, and we have a interesting show for you today because we have two important guests that were gracious enough to do an interview for us a little while ago. You may have met them a couple of weeks ago at Anime Evolution, where I talked about doing an interview with them. You may know them from their web series, Shelf Life, where they play the parts of Bug Boy and Hero Lass. You may know them from their work on the English dub of Naruto, where they played Sasuke and Sakura. They are veteran voiceover actors and authors of Voiceover Voice Actor, the book, Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt. And a couple of years ago, they did indeed write a book for people who are serious about doing voiceover, either professionally or just for things like, for example, a bridge series, online series, the sorts of things that we've covered actually here on Skulls Hall in the past. We've had makers of audio dramas and online web series on in various capacities as guests in the past. And if you are into that kind of work, then this particular interview is straight up your alley. So these guys are the people responsible for the web series Shelf Life. And I'm mentioning that because it's kind of interesting. They are, as far as professionals go, people who have made it, people who could do the commercial radio circuit. However, the interview they did with me is at least the second interview I've known that they have done that I've heard, excuse me, for things like community radio, random podcasts, etc., etc. And so it's kind of interesting to see that even people who have quote-unquote made it professionally are also the sorts of people who are involved in the sort of grassroots creative projects like Shelf Life. And we didn't talk very much about that. We talked a little bit more about what it is like to do the work that they do in general. So why don't we get to that? In just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt. All right. So you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and we are here with two very special guests. You might know them from their audio work on the series Naruto. You might know them from their web series Shelf Life. We have with us this morning Yuri Lowenthal.
Yes, this is Yuri.
And Tara Platt.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, it's been going really well. I wanted to ask you guys, a couple of years ago, you wrote a book called Voiceover Voice Actor, What It's Like Behind the Mic.
Mm-hmm.
What possessed you to decide to write this book?
You know, it's funny. What possessed us really was we had been getting a lot of emails, or increasing amounts of emails from fans interested in getting into voice acting. Uh-huh. And at first they came really sort of, you know, light. We'd get one every now and then, and we'd respond, you know, in the best way that we could. And they started to pile up, and, you know, we didn't want to, at first we began to sort of cut and paste the same answers into emails, and then we just couldn't keep up, and we realized after a while that that's clearly something that people wanted to know more about. And so in addition to those people, we had friends in the business who were like, hey, you guys are doing this voiceover thing. Can I take you out to coffee and, you know, sort of pick your brain about that? And at first we were like, hey, cool, free coffee. And then after that, it got to pile up too. We couldn't meet everybody for coffee. And Tara said, well, we've been writing down a lot of these things anyway. Why don't we just write a book, and then we can tell people when they ask us that question, hey, here's a book that has all the information and more.
Yeah, and I had gone to the library, and I was not able to find something out there that had the kind of information that seemed to be what people were requesting of us. There were very technical books, like The Cone of Sound Around a Microphone is 45 degrees, and I was like, that's not going to really help you necessarily. And then there were also just really sort of older and outdated books, and nothing that I felt was easy and practical and fun to sort of just get all the information out there. And that's another reason that, you know, in addition to compiling all the emails that we were working on to send to people and stuff like that, we just basically sat down and said, okay, what is it we think people are looking for? What do people keep asking us? What information have we learned since we started this process? And that's how we sort of how we put all the elements together. Mm-hmm.
I see. And there's quite a bit of interest in the art form of voiceover up here in Vancouver. We do a lot of that kind of work here as well. And there are a lot of the potential actors out here are also looking to get into it. Very briefly, then, as an overview, what should potential voiceover actors know or do in order to get started?
Well, I think, it depends on where you are. I think Vancouver actors are, you're right, the benefit for them is that they live in a city where, you know, a lot of this kind of work gets done. You know, for some of the things we tell people are, well, you can only do so much on your own, and then you're going to have to move to one of those cities. But luckily, you know, Vancouver actors already have a leg up there.
Mm-hmm.
Other things to do to get started, because a lot of our the people who had gotten in touch with us with questions are young and have not had much acting training, or don't have funds to go out and do, you know, expensive workshops or take classes and, you know, put their own demo together. But we've got a lot of things, a handful of things that we think everybody could do on their own that really doesn't cost anything. One would be to not forget the focus of the acting part of voice acting. We found that the actors who really have longevity in this business and keep working and working and working are good actors first. They're not just, you know, people who can do a bunch of crazy voices. And those are the sort of things you can do. You know, you can get involved in local theater. You can take, you know, drama classes in your school if they offer that, that sort of thing. Another simple thing you can do, and sometimes it's deceptively simple, is to read aloud
mm-hmm.
every day, even just a little bit, because that is so much of our job, is to, you know, we get a script, we don't have a lot of time to prepare, and we have to pull it off the page. So becoming facile with that is a huge part of it.
Yeah, and I would agree. Not only is it reading aloud, but listening to various things that are out there in voiceover already. If that's the area that you want to be working, see what's already there. So listen to animated shows and mimic them. Listen to the radio, mimic commercials. Like really get yourself familiar with what that is that you think that you want to do, and make sure that you have fun doing it. Because if you go home and you can practice with your, basically most people have a computer and most people can access some sort of free-ish or very, very low cost software to just practice with a microphone on their computer to record themselves. If they're not having any fun and they don't like the way they sound and they really are not enjoying themselves, because it's not all just about liking how you sound, but if they're not enjoying themselves, then maybe it isn't the right career for you. You know, like it's all about making sure you're going to have fun and enjoy what you're doing if you're spending all the time working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are some things that you can, you know, that pretty much anybody can do wherever they are, I think.
I see. You mentioned that voiceover work is more than just doing funny voices. What other common misconceptions has it been your experience that people have about voiceover work?
I think one of the biggest ones that I try not to let it get my goat, because I don't think anybody's doing it maliciously, but they'll talk to us and they'll say, oh, yeah, you guys do a lot of voice acting. Do you do any real acting as well? And, you know, I know what they mean, so I don't, you know, punch them in the face right away. but it's, you know, the acting we do as voice actors, you know, comes from the same, you know, core, you know, techniques that we use when we're acting in front of the camera.
And we do both work on camera and on stage a lot, so it's not like...
Yeah, that's actually where we started.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, the techniques are, you know, slightly different for what you have to do. You can't use the same technique on stage as you would in front of a camera, as you would in front of a microphone.
But you're still acting.
Yeah, you're still acting. You're still using your imagination, and you're making choices and examining, you know, scripts and building characters and things like that. So I think that voice acting is not real acting, or is, you know, so much easier than real acting is, I think, sort of number one misconception. Number two misconception is that it's all playtime. you know, and that goes for most acting. I think people look at actors and go, oh, wow, their job is so easy. And I think that comes from the fact that what people see is the fun part, us getting to, you know, inhabit those characters and, you know, play on a set or, you know, do crazy, you know, characters, you know, in front of a microphone. That's the fun part. The tough part is the constant rejection of, you know, auditioning all the time and not getting most of the roles you audition for and, you know, really having to go out there and, you know, build a name for yourself and a brand and, you know, meet people and stay professional and, you know, stay healthy because that's, you know, the instrument that we have to work with is our body and our voice. And, you know, if you're not healthy, that's the first thing to go. So.
Yeah.
So those are two.
I would agree.
Prime misconceptions. I don't know if you've got another one there.
No, I think those are probably the main ones. And it's just always remembering to use your imagination, that you should not be worried about looking stupid or making a jerk of yourself in front of the microphone, because that's part of it.
Yeah, God forbid they should ever put a mirror in front of you when you're working in the booth, because I think all of us would quit immediately. We must look ridiculous in there.
I see. And so you were talking a little bit about the fact that doing voiceover is not just all fun and games. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe the business side of it? Once you decide to take this seriously and you have been, or a potential person has been practicing on their own for some time, what do you do to go about taking the next step in your opinion, maybe getting an agent or joining a union, that kind of thing?
Sure. Well, definitely if you have decided that it's what you want to be focusing on and you're willing to put a little bit of money into it, you will need to get a demo reel together, which is the sampling of your voice, you know, showing off what it is you can do. Because that's what you're going to take to agents and to potential studios so that they know what to do with you and how to place you. It's very similar to an on-camera actor having a headshot. You know, it's your calling card. It becomes a piece of your resume in a way, because often for voiceover, it's less about having a physical resume and more about knowing that you are able and capable of connecting with a voice or a character and bringing it to life. And so definitely getting a demo reel together. And that's something that we recommend you don't skimp on, because it becomes such a crucial part of your portfolio, I should say, that you want to make sure that it's really well created and audio mixed nicely and sweetened with, you know, sound effects and things like that. So it doesn't just sound like you're at home by yourself recording into a microphone, because then the people that are listening to it, whether they're agents or whether they're producers or casting directors, they're going to listen to it and it's not going to have the same quality. And they may just disregard you, not for your work or your skill set, but just because it doesn't sound up to par. And so getting a good, solid quality demo is very important. And then you're right, getting an agent can be very, very helpful. But I would say even more helpful than getting an agent is getting the jobs. And that is something that you can do on your own. If you have a demo, you can take it around to the studios. You just do some research on your own. You find out who's recording in the town that you live in. You guys are fortunate because Vancouver has a lot of work. But, you know, find out where the recording studios are and connect with them and send them your demo and follow up with them. And, you know, that's a good way to start actually creating relationships and potentially getting auditions. Because I know plenty of people that the reason that they've auditioned and then gotten on jobs and series and booked work is because they sent their demo to somebody and somebody listened to it and said, oh my gosh, I'm casting tomorrow, come on in. And they get an audition out of that. So,
yeah, I think there's a common, going back to misconceptions, that the first step is to find an agent because they'll get you jobs. Well, an agent isn't the one hiring. The agent, you know, goes out there and finds the people who are hiring, and then, you know, you get the auditions through your agent. And that can really help, because certain types of jobs will only go through, you know, an agent. You don't have access to everything necessarily without an agent. But I think people can start going out there and getting work even before they have an agent. And that should be the focus. That and professionalism is hugely key. I think people underestimate just what being pleasant to work with, showing up on time, you know, that sort of thing. You know, basic sort of professionalism tenets are huge in this business. I know there have been situations, I'm sure, where I wasn't maybe necessarily the best of the guys who auditioned, but I think maybe the better guy, you know, had a bit of an attitude and they didn't want to work with him. So they said, you know what? Yeah, you know, this guy did a little better job than Yuri, but we'd much rather spend, you know, 4 hours a week for the next 12 weeks or whatever with Yuri, to be totally honest. So being the nice guy can get you far as well.
Yeah.
Right, I see. And so you were talking a bit about auditions. What else about the audition process would be useful to know for someone who doesn't have a lot of experience with these sorts of things?
Yeah, well, I would say breathing and staying relaxed, because there's nothing that showcases and identifies fear and nerves more than your voice, mm-hmm. because it's so connected to your body. And, you know, if you're feeling worried or if you're feeling anxious or nervous, you know, you tend to hold your breath. You have more shallow breathing. With more shallow breathing, your voice may waver. Like, so it's very, very easy to hear it. And so just remember, especially if you get into a booth and you are auditioning and you hear your own sound of your voice and your own sound of your breath on feedback in the microphones, you know, in the microphone through the headphones on your head, and it can get a little overwhelming, all those various moving parts. And so just remember, keep breathing. Everybody has to breathe. And even if when you listen to the radio or you watch your favorite animated show, you're not aware of the breaths, those actors are breathing. And so what happens a lot of times is when you get into the booth for the first few times and you hear your own breath, you don't want to hear that sound because it feels like it's not what you're used to hearing when you listen to other people. So people tend to hold their breath and they breathe more shallowly, and then they can't support their own voice. And so I'd say that's a big one, is just keep breathing through your nerves. Like, allow yourself to be nervous because it's a nerve-wracking sort of situation, but make sure you keep breathing, even if you can hear your own breath. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, that, and I think with technology today, it's become really easy to do auditions from home. You could very easily and inexpensively, if you already have a computer, create a sort of a mini studio for yourself. But that said, a lot of our auditions get sent in, you know, just attached to emails as MP3s. But that said, there is definitely a benefit to getting in the room with an audition or with an auditioner. There are certain places that, especially if they don't know you, they'll want to see you in the room. They'll want to know how you deal with, you know, direction and things like that.
Yeah. And don't take direction personally. That's another important one is, you know, if the director or audio engineer has something to say to you, don't take it as like a personal attack or affront or anything.
That you didn't do a good job.
Yeah. Just listen to it and say, okay, great, thank you. And then do it that way.
Yeah, take a second to internalize that, you know, and then make sure that you actually take the direction the next time you do it. Because sometimes we get so nervous in there, they give us direction and all we're thinking is, oh, they hate me. I got to do better. When you're not listening to the direction, just listen to what they say, sort of figure out what that is to you, and then make sure you add that into your next read.
I see. Do you have any final parting thoughts or any upcoming projects that you would like to plug or promote?
Oh, as a matter of fact, we do, and it's kind of specific to this. We have a mockumentary film that we together that we produced called Con Artists, that is about voice actors going to conventions, you know, doing the convention circuit.
It's very silly. I mean, it's a mockumentary, and we play heightened versions of ourselves. It's almost like a Christopher Guest movie in a way. It's very, very silly in that style, but we actually shot it at physical conventions, so there's documentary footage in addition to the mockumentary footage of us pretending to be crazy voice mm-hmm. actors. But it's very, very silly. And it's also a good reminder to our sort of parting last words, which is just remember to keep having fun and use your imagination and creativity, because that's going to bring your characters and your voice to life.
Yeah, so. And I think we'll have a trailer up for that very shortly at conartistsmovie.com.
Conartistsmovie.com.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Absolutely, yeah,
thank you.
Yes, and you've been listening to Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt here at CITR 101.9 FM on Scalds Hall.
LiveBand.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. LiveBand.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. LiveBand.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is proof fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
And welcome back to us here at CITR 101.9 FM. And that was our interview with Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt. And they are the authors of Voice Over Voice Actor, What It's Like Behind the Mic, which is an interesting book if you're serious about what they were talking about and would like to know more. You can get this book. It has its own website, voiceovervoiceactor.com, all one word, all lowercase.com. Voice Over Voice Actor. And you can get it as a PDF for a few dollars. For a few dollars more, there's a warm-up CD with vocal exercises that go along with it. And sort of a clarification, I forgot in my exuberance while I was interviewing them, I asked them about unions. The United States and Canada have different rules about that sort of thing in different unions. So that's something that if you do find any information about unions from people based in the U.S., things will be a little bit different in Canada. They were polite enough to focus on the other part of my question, so that was kind of nice. But that occurred to me almost as I had said it. But I thought that I would just clarify that. Another thing that they are working on is the Shelf Life web series, which you can go online and see for free, and it is amazing. They just finished season 4 of their series. It's a little bit geared towards the mature viewer. They don't shirk away from the various topics. Nothing lewd or nothing unviewable, but it is just very all-around humor. It's very, very funny. It's a superhero send-off, and they star in it. And it is absolutely hilarious. And you can check out their website for that at shelflifeseries.com. All one word, all lowercase.com, Shelf Life Series. You can also just find it on YouTube. That's where all of their videos are embedded from. And the Con Artist movie, which they were talking about, has its own website, as they said. And once again, that's conartistmovie.com, all lowercase, all one word. Picking up on a theme there. But yes, these are all three separate websites, and you can just go to them and find out various information about their various projects that they are involved in. And it's kind of interesting. It kind of runs the gamut of they have their own personal work, and you can just go online to Amazon.com and buy the English dub of Naruto, for example. And then they've done a lot of other things on the side that a lot of community projects, very similar to community projects, which I've interviewed other people here about. And it's kind of an interesting statement to the sort of the world that we're involved in, where, you know, even people who, you know, made it in the sense of how we typically define success, at least traditionally, are still very heavily involved in doing community projects of this nature. They write books. They make they made a mockumentary. They make a web series. They're doing a lot of stuff that is really actually pretty cool, and very similar to other artists that we've had on the show in the past. And so it's kind of interesting that everybody wants to use the new ways of expressing themselves that media today allows, and not just the little guy. So that's kind of interesting. Although they probably don't see themselves as huge celebrities, but let's just treat them as that for just a second. Okay, we're done. Coming up now at the bottom half of the hour, I was looking for an example of a husband and wife comedy team from the golden age of radio, and of course there's Lucille and Desi, but I've already used the one drama that I could find under public domain. There's Sonny and Cher, but they were kind of from the TV era, a little bit after the golden age of radio, so I had to settle for the next best thing, and that's a comedy duo that just argue as if they were husband and wife but are not quite. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be hearing another episode of Abbott and Costello coming up in just a moment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Interested in producing a professional music video? No dough. Public Records is giving away grants of up to $5,000. Apply now through June 14th at publicrecords.org. Winners will have their video showcased on TELUS Optic TV and online. So head on over to publicrecords.org to get your application underway today.
Sea salt, malt vinegar, newspaper wrapping, red sauce, tartar sauce, brown sauce.
Cool Britannia, Britannia, you are cool. Take a trip, Britons ever, ever, ever shall be hip, 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 hip.
Chips with everything. CITR 101.9 FM's Great British Music Show. It's hot, hot, hot.
You didn't say when it was, man.
Oh, yeah, right. alternating Sundays, 5 to 6 p.m. The very best of the very, very Britishest.
Oh, dear.
The Abbott and Costello program, brought to you by Camels, the cigarette that's first in the service. Camels stay fresh because they're packed to go around the world. Listen to the music of Freddie Rich and his orchestra, the songs of Connie Haynes, Cliff Nazaro, tonight's special guest Arthur Treacher, and starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Costello, what are you doing in the bathtub?
Ah, what do you think I'm doing? I'm taking a bath.
What are you doing with your underwear on?
The water's cold.
Oh, will you get out of that tub and put your bathrobe on?
I've got the bathrobe on now.
You're wearing your bathrobe in the tub?
Sure, I don't want to get my suit wet.
Oh, wait a minute. What are you doing in the bathtub on Thursday night?
Ah, but I forgot to tell you. But Lynn Barrett, a beautiful movie star, is coming here for dinner, and I'm going to have a big swanky party.
Oh, are you expecting people?
Certainly I'm expecting people. What do you think I'm going to do, have a flock of cows?
Not flock, herd.
Herd what?
Herd of cows.
Of course I heard of cows. I'm no dummy.
I mean a cow herd.
What, I can't have a cow herd. I just say nothing to be ashamed of.
All right, all right. Let's say no more about cows, please. I'm not in the mood.
What mood?
A cow mood.
Who cares if a cow moves? Maybe watch its little kittens.
All right, look, look, forget about the cows. You don't know anything about cows in the first place.
Who don't?
Wait a minute, do you know what a cow gives?
No.
A cow gives milk.
No, she don't. You got to take it away from her.
All right, we understand that. That's the first thing you've said right. You take the milk from the cow's udder.
I beg your pardon?
The cow's udder.
The cow's udder what?
Costello, you take the milk from under the cow.
You mean the crankcase?
So
that's the thing that's fastened to the cow's skin.
No, not skin. Hide.
Why should I hide? I didn't do nothing.
No. Hide on the cow.
How am I gonna hide on a cow?
Listen,
a cow on
listen,
top of
listen,
a cow.
Just a minute, please. Listen to me. Hide. A cow's outside.
Bring her in. Let her listen to the program.
Oh, what? Wait a minute. Quiet. Here comes Ken and Mrs. Nile.
Oh, hello, Mr. Abbott. And you too, Costello. Are you surprised to see me?
No, ma'am. I was expecting a cow.
What?
I mean, another kind of a cow.
What?
Another kind of a cow.
Oh, Costello, I'm not a cow. I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Whoa! Will you stop that, Costello? That's no way to insult Mrs. Nile.
Do you know a better way?
Now, just a second, Costello. I'm getting red in the face.
Where are you getting the blood?
Oh, are you calling Mike Kenneth anemic? Why, just look how trim he is in that blue suit. Why, he looks like Gainsborough's blue boy.
He looks more like Ginsburg's bellboy. Oh. A pretty shade of blue, ain't it?
You're a fine one to talk, Fatso.
Me, fat? I just dropped 20 pounds.
You didn't drop it far enough.
Oh, now, let's stop fighting, please. Mrs. Niles, Costello invited Lynn Barry to the house, and he needs some help with dinner.
Oh, well, I might be able to help. I've been cooking for 12 years.
You ought to be well done by now.
Ah. No, low.
Get the kisser on that
Quiet.
Kid.
You see, Mrs. Niles, what Costello really needs is a butler. Do you know where we can get one, please?
Well, my uncle runs an employment agency.
Well, that's fine.
Here's the address. Just go over there and ask for my uncle.
Oh, that's very nice, Mrs. Niles. What's his name?
You go. Ask for him.
Yes, ma'am. I go, but who do I ask for?
She told you, you go.
I know I go, but I gotta ask for somebody.
Well, I told you to see my uncle.
Uncle what?
You go.
Now, don't say that again. Don't tell me I go.
Stop saying I go when Mrs. Niles says you go.
All right, you go and I won't have to go.
Costello, you don't understand. My uncle's first name is Hugo.
Oh, why didn't you say that in the first place? What's his last name?
Guess it.
Why should I?
What? Why should you what?
Guess his name.
She didn't tell you to guess his name.
Mrs. Niles, didn't you tell me his name was Hugo?
Yes.
What's his last name?
I said guess it.
That's what I thought you said. Is it Murphy?
No.
Is it Jones or Smith?
No, no, Costello. Guess it.
Costello, I told you for the last time. You go guess it. You
and
go
you
guess
go
it.
You go jump in a lake. Close and all.
I'll do nothing of the kind. Come, Kenneth.
Well, Costello, they're mad again. Now you've burned your bridges behind you.
That's okay. I won't show with my coat on.
Oh, come on, nonsense. You've got to have a butler for the party. Now, here's Mrs. Niles' uncle's card. Call him up.
Boy, this sure is for a funny phone number.
What does it say?
Established, 1903.
That isn't a phone number.
It's right here on the card.
No, nothing of the kind. That's the year he started the employment agency. He founded it in 1903.
Oh, he founded the business? Who lost it?
Nobody lost it.
But how could he founded it if he didn't lost it at it?
Costello, I said he founded it.
Can I help it if you don't speak good English?
Yeah, Costello, please, you should be ashamed of yourself. Mr. and Mrs. Niles were kind enough to tell you where you could hire a butler. I was kind enough to explain how to contact the man. But did you appreciate it? No. All you do is stand there and give me silly answers.
Oh, I'm a bad boy!
And you certainly are.
Don't tell my scoutmaster on me.
Well, I should.
Oh, if you do, he'll take away my scalp pins. Gee, Abbott, anything but that. I have one pin for courtesy. I got one pin for bravery and one for safety.
Wait a minute. I can see the pin for courtesy and the pin for bravery. Where's the pin for safety?
It's holding my pants up.
Oh, stop.
High over an island marked for invasion flies a Lightning fighter plane with cameras in its nose instead of cannon and machine guns. Its only protection, the skill of its pilot. They've got what it takes, those unarmed reconnaissance pilots, and so has their cigarette, Camels, first with men in all the services according to actual sales records. To our island bases go Camel cigarettes by the ton, and we know they'll be fresh, cool-smoking, and slow-burning because Camels are packed to go around the world. More Camel cigarettes overseas may mean less in your store, but remember, when you get Camels, you always get more flavor, the result of expert blending of costlier tobaccos. Camel's tobacco standard is the same for soldier, for civilian, anywhere in the world.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Camel cigarettes, they stay fresh because they're packed to go around the world. Freddie Rich and his orchestra play a Cole Porter favorite, I Get a Kick Out of You.
All right, come on, Costello. The Hugo Gessett Employment Agency is right down this hall. Now, let me handle this, and I'll get you a butler.
Now, look, Abbott, I'm just expecting Lynn Barry. Why do I need a butler?
But a butler in your house will make you more stable.
Stable?
Certainly. Just picture a butler in his livery.
What I got, a house or a livery stable?
Did I? You don't understand. He'll make you distinctive. He'll give your house a certain air.
What am I hiring, a butler or a skunk?
Oh, come on, shut up. Now, come on in the employment agency and let me do the talking, please.
Oh, please. You've got to get me a maid. My maid quit today after 15 years. I've lost my maid. I've lost my maid.
Hey, mister, mister, why did your maid leave?
She caught me kissing my wife.
Costello, look, please. Never mind him. Let's talk to the clerk at the desk.
How do you do, gentlemen? What can I do for you?
Well, I'd like to hire a butler.
You'd like to hire a butler? Oh, you mad, impetuous boy!
All right, brother, don't knock yourself out. I just want to hire a butler.
You just want to hire
a butler? What am I laughing at? I mean,
oh, you fool. Why don't you ask me for a date with my wife?
Okay, but one thing at a time.
Now, I'll have to ask you a few questions for my file. First of all, do you work in a defense land?
No, I don't.
Then how can you afford a butler? Do you own any steel mills?
No.
Polo ponies?
No.
Steamship companies?
No. I'm in a rut, ain't I?
Now, listen, clerk, we're in a great hurry. Haven't you got a butler we can hire?
Well, there is one, Judson. But right now, he's over there. Mr. Morganbilt, the millionaire, is talking to him.
Now, listen, Judson. I'll give you 5 nights a week off and $1,000 a week. All right, make it 7 nights a week off. I'll give you my car. I'll do your laundry. All right, you're hired. Now, please stop twisting my arm!
Nobody's looking. Lucky fellow, he's got a butler just by a twist of a wrist.
Look, Clark, this isn't helping us. We've got to have a butler. Lynn Barry, the movie star, is coming to dinner tonight.
Lynn Barry coming to dinner? Oh, so you'll be putting on the dog.
No, we're having roast beef. What kind of talk is that?
Come with me and see our manager, Mr. Nazaro. Right this way. Mr. Nazaro?
Yes?
This is Mr. Abbott, Mr. Costello. Costello would like to hire a butler.
You want to hire a butler? Good heavens, man, don't you realize that butlers can't arouse a salary to meet, and a cannery is a self-remorker, but it's a self-remorker, so really? It isn't that I want to raise the same for the foster salary to pay the source for the railroad salary.
And maybe he'll be reclassified.
You don't understand. Look, Brown, didn't you tell Mr. Costello that the castle raises salt and bites and bites? Hasn't got any thoughts? And didn't you tell him that the Reese's salad raises with the whole of the man? Didn't you tell him that?
Yes, I did.
You didn't say that, brother.
Now, don't interrupt the man.
That's right. I'm trying to show you that that's the order phrase to me. Now, not that the castle raises, or rain will fall and celebrate the mind. You get the picture I'm painting?
Yeah, but you smeared it up in the middle.
Costello, he's trying to tell you that today most people are doing their own work. Even Cary Grant washes at his house.
Yes, Costello, do you wash?
Surely I wash. What do you think I am, a slob?
No, all the picture stars are washing. I passed Ann Sheridan's house yesterday, and I saw her washing her calabrines, her Ross's soap, and Phil the Mobos. And even a little Jibby-Bibby-Bibby soap, and Cameron's telephone. Don't you wash your twang and Phil Poulton, Jibby-Bibby?
I do, but the buttons break off.
Never mind your buttons.
Never mind my buttons. What do you want me to do, be a pin-up boy?
Mr. Costello, let me ask you a question. When you had your last butler, did you pay him Babadidit?
No, I only paid him Babadid.
Why didn't you pay him Babadidit?
Because he didn't did it.
Look, Costello, now let's not get nasty. I'm trying to tell you there's a shortage of men. Butlers today aren't just a cat for foster with a celery and hypnic rails. Why, even my butler cast a Ross's trade. I tried, I said to him, governors, did you ever sell a force of eight? Bring my condren, bring my satellite, bring my corsets, and even if it was a male face. You see what I mean?
Frankly, I'm a little confused.
Why don't you pay attention to the man there?
That's what's confusing me!
Well, I could put it another way.
You could, but would you?
Now, just a minute. You can't come in here and tell me how to categorize the salary available, or even how to wait it, When you know that I'm the only one who tries to state it, what do you think I am, a castrant? It's men like you that Captain Foster South will have everybody cross with him in a salary base into the hitting gin did it did so up.
Fuddle-dee-duddle!
Fuddle-dee-duddle? That doesn't make sense.
That don't make sense!
Of course it doesn't.
It certainly does not.
Of all the ridiculous things I've ever heard in my life, it's fuddle-dee-duddle.
All right, brother. What would you have said?
I have said, Recente Fosket de Hinton, Sir Keller, the moment.
That's the word I've been trying to think of!
Get out of here!
Connie Haynes sings the new rhythmic hit, If That's the Way You Want It, Baby.
If that's the way you want it, baby, baby, that's the way it will be. I'll wait for you forever, baby. I'll wait because I'm sure that you're waiting for me. The day will come, I don't mean maybe, when you'll be mine, but definitely. If that's the way you want it, baby, baby, that's the way it will be. Time's a-wasting, wish that we could hasten to the man with the collar turned around. I'd like to do it right away, but you'd rather wait. So I say, if that's the way you want it, baby, baby, that's the way you will be. I'll wait for you forever, baby. I'll wait because I'm sure that you're waiting for me. The day will come, I don't need maybe, when you'll be mine, but definitely. If that's the way you want it, baby, baby, I'll be waiting, sitting here awaiting. Baby, that's the way it will be.
Try a Camel cigarette, says the fellow on the radio, and you say, I have. You liked it, didn't you? And yet, maybe you're not a steady Camel smoker. You see, one or two Camel cigarettes aren't enough to appreciate what more flavor really means. Camels do have more flavor. Ask anyone. It's the result of our expert way of blending costlier tobaccos. This extra flavor is what helps Camel cigarettes hold up, keep from going flat, no matter how many you smoke. Give your second pack of Camels a thorough checkup in your T-zone. That's taste and throat. Your proving ground for flavor. Yes, and for Camel cigarettes, smooth, extra mildness, too. And remember, Camels stay fresh, cool smoking and slow burning, because they're packed to go around the world.
C-A-M-E-L-S.
Camels, they're first in the service. They've got what it takes.
Well, Costello, come here. What are you going to do? Here it is, the night of your big party for Lynn Barry, and you haven't got a butler.
Yes, but we did get a cook. I'll call up the kitchen and tell her what to do.
Well, be careful what you say now.
Hello, kitchen. This is Mr. Costello. I want to talk to my cook, Mrs. Blank. What? She did? At 4 o'clock in the morning? Wow! How much did it weigh? 9 pounds? At her age, too. How do you like that, Abbott? Mrs. Blank got up at 4 o'clock this morning and ate a 9-pound turkey.
No.
I never heard of such stuff.
Hey, Costello, that must be Lynn Barry.
Lynn Barry?
Don't get excited now. Take it easy.
I like her because she's a big girl. Barry.
All right, now, don't get excited.
Boy, at last. I'll go to the door. 50 pounds of ice for Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith lives next door. Hey, do you mind if I leave it here at her husband's home?
Right.
I guess her husband don't like ice.
Oh,
that was a piperoo.
Well, Costello, you'd better forget about Lynn Berry. I don't think she's coming.
Oh, no? I'll bet that's her now.
Well, pair it up for me.
Hello, Lynn. Oh, Lynn, my darling. My precious one. My loved one. My own little Snooky. I love you.
Boy, oh boy, have I got the wrong number.
I can't stand this waiting. I'm losing my mind.
Oh, behave yourself. You're not losing your mind any more than I am.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
Abbott, this must be Lynn Barry. I'll answer it. Darling, come into my arms.
I say, aren't you a bit high-strung, old boy?
Costello, look who it is. It's Arthur Treacher.
Mr. Treacher.
Now, that's my line. Please.
I just want to find out his professional business.
That's right. How do you do, Mr. Treacher?
Find out if he is a lifesaver. Well, you know what I mean.
No.
Thank you.
How do you do, Mr. Treacher? I'm Bud Abbott, and this is Lou Costello.
I'm glad you told me. I thought it was cabbage cooking.
Now, wait a minute, Treacher. The only reason I don't poke you in the nose is because I'm bigger than you.
It so happens that I'm bigger than you.
That's a better reason.
Look, Mr. Treacher, don't mind Costello. He was expecting Lynn Barry. Mm-hmm. And he's down in the dumps.
Yes, that's where she told me I'd find him.
Now, wait a minute, Treacher.
Mr. Treacher to you, punk.
Mr. Punk to you, Treacher.
Now, stop that, Costello.
I want to know what he's doing here. What are you doing here, Shorty?
All your information, you poisonous person. I am Miss Barry's butler. Before she sets one dainty foot in this hovel, I wish to inspect the premises, the service, and the food here. Here? Yes, here.
Oh, dear.
Costello.
Oh, let's go.
Now, listen, Costello.
Our boy.
Yeah. Now, that isn't a bit
nice. Our boy can cost you. Yeah.
Now, Costello, that isn't a bit nice coming.
What kind of talk?
Please.
Is that? Please. Can't come here.
Costello. There's a reason for...
Yes, sit down, yep.
No. Yeah. Don't talk like that.
Over here.
Yes. Lou, don't you understand?
Over there.
Well, don't you understand, Lou?
Somebody better talk besides me.
Now, wait a minute. Come here, Lou. Don't you understand? He's English.
He's English?
Yeah.
If he was any more English, he couldn't talk at all.
Quiet.
Over here.
Look here, Treacher. Who are you to come in here and question Costello's official standing?
After all, I sprang from nobility.
And you didn't spring far enough.
No, you didn't spring far enough. I'll have you know that my family is very prominent socially. My father has a country seat in Wembley and a city seat in Devonshire.
Your father has two seats?
Yes.
Does Ripley know about it?
Costello, be careful how you talk
Abbott,
to me.
Abbott, don't you start talking like that.
Now, wait a minute, please.
Make it more pronounced with Costello.
All right, Costello.
That's better.
Be careful how you talk to Mr. Treacher. He's a polished gentleman.
He sounds like he's shellacked.
You don't understand.
Now, look here. I'm from Eton.
You're from Hunger.
You're impossible. You're absolutely impossible.
Hey, you're nuts.
I am.
Over here.
No. Mr. Treacher's an educated man. He's a linguist.
Yes. You told me he was English before.
Yes.
A linguist.
Linguist.
What's the difference between linguist and English?
Never mind.
Wait a minute.
I can't say either word anyway.
Man, will you? Yes, perhaps I can make you understand it French. Parlez-vous français?
Oui, oui.
Bien. Vous avez étudié dans une pension?
Ah, oui, oui.
Combien des ans habitez-vous dans le Sorbonne à Paris?
Oui, oui. Hey, Abbott, I'll bet he runs out before I do.
Quiet, will you, please?
Now, look here. You might as well know it, old boy. I'll never permit Miss Barry to attend your dinner.
Oh, yeah? There's Miss Barry now. Hello, Lynn, my darling.
Oh, it's me, Mrs. Niles. Am I late?
Yeah, by about 40 years. What is this, witch's night out?
Costello, please.
Boy, you sure get around. What, do you got a sea card for your broom?
Oh, stop, Costello. Mr. Treacher, yeah. I'd like to have you meet Mr. and Mrs. Ken Niles.
Which one is Mrs. Niles?
Now, wait a minute,
quiet,
preacher.
Quiet.
I don't go for that.
Not too loud.
After all, which one is Mrs. Niles? These people are friends of mine.
Ooh.
All of them are friends of mine. Which one is Mr. and Mrs. Niles? How do you like that, Abbott?
Good. Good for you, Costello.
You keep out of this, Kenneth.
Kenneth, are you going to stand for this? Costello's trying to make a man out of me and a woman out of you.
Maybe we'd be happier that way.
Will you please stop those fights?
I've heard enough, Costello. I could never allow Miss Barry to associate with an illiterate like you.
Ah, gee, Treacher. Don't keep Lynn Barry away from my house. You don't seem to really know me.
I don't seem to really know you? You corpulent little corporal. Do you realize you just split an infinitive?
Why, does it show?
No, you dummy. He's correcting your grammar. You made a mistake.
Who made a mistake? Now listen here, Mr. Treacher. When the adjective modifies the predicate adverb, then the pronoun of the subjunctive mood modifies the dangling participle, leaving the infinitive unsplit. Do you know what I mean, Treacher?
Certainly.
Then explain it to me.
Costello, you're not going to get Lynn Barry this way. You know that.
Gee, Mr. Treacher, I gotta have Lynn Barry here. I'm in love with her. She's my whole life. She means everything to me. I gotta have her. I can't live without her.
Does she really mean that much to you?
Yeah, she's the only one that can string my yo-yo.
Very well, if she means that much to you, let me see how you'd make love to her. Now, just imagine that Mrs. Niles here is Lynn Barry.
What an imagination you got, brother.
Do what the man says. Take Mrs. Niles in your arms and kiss her.
Oh, but Miss Rabbit, in my whole life, I've only been kissed by two parties.
Yes, ma'am. The Democrats and the Republicans. That's enough. I thank you, Mother. Come here, my proud beauty.
Oh, I'm not proud.
You're no beauty either.
Well, Costello, what are you waiting for?
Go ahead and kiss her.
Not me. Treacher, if you know so much, you kiss her.
I kiss her? Now, look here, that is, honestly, you can't really...
Oh, what have you got to lose? There'll always be an England.
Oh, come on, Mr.
Over here.
Yeah.
Quiet.
Mr. Treacher, you show Costello the proper approach to kiss Lynn Barry. Take Mrs. Niles in your arm.
All right, I'll do it. I have her in my arm.
Now, you put your
what
face...
What do I do now?
You put your face next to hers.
Yes.
Now you're cheek to cheek.
Yes.
From where I'm standing, it looks like a dead heat at Bay Meadows.
Quiet.
Now what do I do?
Now, Treacher, you kiss her.
And now what do I do?
Give her back her teeth.
Abbott and Costello will be back in just a moment.
Thanks to the Yanks of the Week, tonight we salute Marine Private John Perella of Springfield, Massachusetts, whose patrol was cut off behind Japanese lines on Bougainville Island. Knowing that an American barrage was scheduled to hit this very spot, Private Perella volunteered to swim a strange tropical river past enemy positions and, in spite of heavy enemy fire, continued till he reached American positions, just in time to prevent his companions being killed by our own guns. In your honor, Private John Perella, the makers of Camels are sending to Marines in the Pacific 300,000 Camel cigarettes.
Each of the four Camel shows honors a Yank of the Week. Sends 300,000 Camel cigarettes overseas, a total of more than 1 million Camels sent free each week. In this country, the traveling Camel caravans have thanked over 3.5 million Yanks with free shows and free Camels. Camel broadcasts go out to the United States 4 times a week, a short wave to our men overseas and to South America. Listen tomorrow to Jimmy Durante and Gary Moore, Saturday to Bob Hawke in thanks to the Yanks, Monday to Blondie, and next Thursday to Abbott and Costello with their guest, Miss Lynn Barry.
Good night, folks. We're a little late. See you next week.
Good night, folks.
Be sure to tune in next week for another great Abbott and Costello show with our guest, Lynn Barry. And remember, Camel cigarettes make the best Christmas gift of all. Whenever you buy them, wherever you send them, Camels will be fresh because they're packed to go around the world. This is Ken Niles wishing you all a very pleasant good night from Hollywood. This program has come to you from Hollywood.
And welcome back to us here at CITR 101.9 FM. And just a reminder that these particular broadcasts, according to the public domain license, are played in their entirety, and therefore consider the ads, etc., as part of a historical curiosity rather than us trying to sell anything. These shows aired like 20 years before the Surgeon General's famous studies into the health effects of cigarettes in the early 1960s and everything that's come out since then. As you can hear from the content of the show, this was done just a couple of years after World War II. And yes, it was after World War II. This particular episode was, according to my sources, dated 1948. And they're still doing the Marines thing. I guess they just had a list they were going through. Well, anyway, it's kind of interesting, that show. They were using the mid-Atlantic pronunciation versus regional accents as a source of humor. And that was a very topical thing at that time and for several decades later. How are you supposed to sound when you are in a public forum? Because at the time, public forum for broadcasting were all very tightly controlled. And there were a lot of people who considered that there should be an established standard by which you would pronounce things. And so they came up with various mid-Atlantic dialects and things like, for example, BBC English would survive partially to this very day. And then you have other ways of speaking that were just people's dialects. And so you have the contrast between Costello and the butler. And that actually was a microcosm of two opposing theories about how to perform publicly and how to be a public presence in broadcast technology, which people were still fiddling around with. This was only a generation old. I mean, you know, you had a character who was listed of having started a business in 1903, which at that time, actually, there was less of a gap between 1903 and the time of that broadcast than there was between the time of that broadcast and now. It's been a long time. Well, anyway, coming up in just a couple of moments, we are going to have Radio Zero with Tyler and Cam. And that is just about all of the time that we have here for Skults Hall at CITR 101.9 FM. A brief couple of announcements before we go. Next week, we're going to be having another guest, Astra Crompton, who is an artist of various means who lives on Vancouver Island and was also at Anime Evolution and who was also gracious enough to give us an interview. And so we're going to have her on the show next week talking about the work that she does. And that will be us. That would be all for us here. So relax, enjoy Radio Zero coming up next, and have a good weekend here in lovely Vancouver.